So the title of the message is In Times Like These. And the verse that we're going to use is 2 Timothy 3:1. Very simple verse, but it's the Apostle Paul, who was one of the most influential Christians of his time, as we know. And he was saying this to his young protege, Timothy, who was going to go out and he was going to pastor the Ephesian church. He says this to him in 2 Timothy 3:1. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. You think about our world today, boy, we certainly are living in a chaotic world, right? I mean, it's been crazy. It's difficult. It's been challenging. I mean, we think of, who would ever heard the word a year ago if I were to stand up here and say COVID-19? We'd be like, what is that? We have no idea. But there's people out there that they're living in fear. They're afraid of this COVID-19. And it's altered our life in such a magnificent way, and not in such a good sense, but it's changed it greatly. I mean, there are recreational activities that we normally participate in. They aren't happening. If you have kids that are in sports, or sports have been put on hold, you know, in the spring and mostly in the summer. If you like going to big league games, who would have ever thought that they would cancel the NBA for a while, they would cancel Major League Baseball, and they would cancel the NCAA basketball tournament last spring. When I heard that, I thought, this is nuts. What's happening? What's going on? We've seen incredible change in our workplace. For some of you, maybe it's changed so much that you got laid off. Workplaces have changed in a sense that the way they do business is so much different. Church is even different. Just look the way we're seated. We're kind of all spread out. It's different. We were even closed down for a couple months. The way we shop has been changed because of COVID-19. You know, so many more people are shopping online, right? I was, my wife and I and my youngest son, Owen, were in Plover this past week shopping. We went into a store. It was kind of busy. I mean, there's a number of people there. And I'm just walking around looking in the store and everybody's got masks on, and this is just so weird. You know, who would have really thought that we'd be shopping, we'd be seeing people all over, and we're all wearing these masks? I mean, we've heard words now that we never thought we would heard. Coronavirus. What? Coronavirus? What is it? Social distancing. You know, community spread, herd immunity, flattening the curve, PPE, shelter in place. These are all words that were foreign to us a year ago at this time. As Paul said to Timothy, we are living in difficult times. And we think of these difficult times from a financial sense as well. Can you ever remember a time in history when we would willingly shut down the economy, bring it to a grinding halt? Who would have ever thought? Praise God that it is starting to come back. Things are spiking back up. But there is, you know, there is talk that here this month in October, November, that the virus could jump back up. And we're seeing that happening in our state, Wisconsin. I think I heard that Wisconsin is the number three state in the country for cases right now. Hopefully that we don't lock everything down again, bring everything to a stop, because I think that would be catastrophic, of course, to our economy. We are living in difficult times right now, guys. And then there's an election coming up, 30 days. Some people are freaking out. What's going to happen if so-and-so gets elected? Are things going to change completely? Are we going to see America very differently? People are worried about the upcoming election. Then we're witnessing alarming amounts of violence and lawlessness in our country, and it's all, you know, in conjunction with all the protesting. And although there are a lot of peaceful protests, there are also a lot of protests that are not so peaceful, that are turning into riots and looting and arson and destruction of innocent people's businesses. Windows are being broken out, cars are being burned, and we're citing racism and social injustice. We live in a difficult time, don't we? Apostle Paul was right. And then we're looking at just increasing deterioration of society's moral standards. You know, in our world today, premarital sex, it's the norm. You know, it's common. Adultery is prevalent. And pornography is the single largest and most profitable sector on the internet. We live in difficult times. And finally, and we can go on, I'm not gonna, but we're seeing a decay in our spiritual thinking, biblical literacy. Once things that were once universal truths are not so much anymore. The fact that Jesus came, he died, and he rose again, that was common truth, not so much anymore. We're seeing diluted faith. Churches are, they're just watering down the gospel message or preaching the, you know, the prosperity message. There's increased apostasy, which is just people abandoning the faith, and then just a more godless worldview. God's being removed from society, however they can. We live in difficult times. But you're thinking, oh my gosh, what kind of message is this? We're starting to come on a Sunday morning to hear this nice thing, but guys, it's reality. I mean, it's the truth. It's what we're living in. I mean, we just heard about Rwanda. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, some of these things that we're going through aren't so bad. But you know what? Let me remind you again of 2 Timothy 3:1. In the last days, there will be difficult times. Is this the last day? I don't know. Is Christ going to come this afternoon, next week, next month, next year? We don't know. But we're living in these difficult times right now. Well, let's turn this around. Let's make this more positive. Let's look at some things that we need to consider in times like these. Number one, in times like these, we need a Savior. We need Jesus. And this is why. To save us from our sin. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, I know it's getting dry. We need a Savior to save us from our sin, our lives, and the sins of this world. You know, Romans 3:23 says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glory standard." You know, and this dates back, you know, to the Garden of Eden. Sin came into this world. And because we are sinners and God is perfect, we can't have that relationship with him. And when there's no relationship with God, there's no eternal life. And that means that if there's no eternal life for us, then what's left? This world. And right now, it doesn't seem so great, does it? But thanks to Jesus, he came. He's mighty to save, as we sang about. He came and he paid the price for our sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." So that we can have a relationship with the God in heaven, so that we can have the hope of eternal life. And the good thing is that that's a free gift. It's nothing that we can earn. There's nothing we can do to earn that. We don't deserve it, but God's grace is ours. And we need just to believe in that and ask Christ for forgiveness. We need a Savior to save us from sin. We also need a Savior to give us hope. That is a hope beyond this life, eternal life. That's what we can look forward to. 1 Peter 1:3-6 says this, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive his salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while." And yes, we are going to endure some trials. We're enduring a pandemic. We are enduring an economy that's up and down. I don't know if you're out there today. Do you need encouragement? I mean, do you need that hope in your life? And I just want you to think on the words of Peter, as we just read, his words that offer joy and they offer hope in times of trouble. And we can live with this wonderful expectation of the eternal life to come. And we can have confidence through this that God knows and he plans and he directs our lives all for the good. He can lead us to a much better future. He gives us the hope, and that there's nothing nothing can that can destroy that hope because it's stored away up in heaven where no earthly power can touch it. Jesus says in John 10:28, I give them eternal life that they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. See, Jesus is our Savior, and he came to save us from our sins. He came to this earth. He lived a perfect, flawless life and took that sin upon our shoulders, went to the cross, and died for you and for me. And the Bible says that if we can just turn away from our sin, ask for forgiveness, and believe in what he did, God would forgive us our sin, and he could then be our Savior. And if you've never done that, at the end of this service, I'm going to pray a prayer that I just encourage you, that if God and the Holy Spirit is leading you to pray that prayer. So in times like these, guys, we need a Savior. Secondly, in times like this, we need security. I mean, if you think about it, there really is nothing in this world that is secure, right? I mean, if you're out there and you're banking on Social Security to provide for you, well, at least someone maybe my age or my kids' age, some of you are already getting Social Security, but there's no guarantee that that's going to be there. You may think that you have a secure job. Well, I bet you there were millions of people 9 months ago who thought that they had a really secure job, right? Not so much anymore. Maybe it's not COVID that took away your job. Maybe it's an accident. I was with a gentleman this week. He was buying something from me, and he worked for AT&T. He worked on the lines, so he was up, kind of went, goes up on the power lines. Yeah, I mean, probably my age, I would say, maybe a little bit older. He had a fall. He fell, and it wasn't, I mean, not from way up, but it was just high enough that when he fell, he just crushed his hip multiple places, and as a result, now he's walking with a cane, and he's not going back to work. Of course, they laid him off, and he's not going back to work. So here's a guy my age, the prime of your career, and done working. Our health is not necessarily secure. We can get the call tomorrow that, hey, here's your diagnosis. Or we can come down with COVID. I mean, you think about security. Think about the President of the United States, President Trump, who's probably got every single possible means of protecting him from getting this virus. And what happened? He got the virus. So nothing is secure. Maybe it's a relationship you think is just going so well. Next day completely changes. The point is, guys, that we just don't know. There's nothing in this earth that is secure. But when you know Jesus as your Savior, you can find security in him. And I like what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 13, verse 5. It says, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. See, it's easy for us in this day to look on to material things in our lives for that security. Houses, cars, wealth, social status, things like that. We look to those for security often. But those things, are they really secure? I mean, are they going to be there? No. Those are things that are going to fade away. However, we can find our security in one person, and that's in Jesus, and knowing Jesus. And he's going to help us, and he's going to guide us no matter where we go or no matter what trials that we face. He's there for us. But probably one of the most comforting in regards to security is knowing God's eternal love for you and for I. If you look at Romans 8, 38 and 39, Apostle Paul says this, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. And how cool is that? I didn't know they were going to sing that song this morning, that song by Citizen Way. And here, I just need how God works. Nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed through Christ Jesus our Lord. The greatest security that we can have is that no matter what goes on in the world, no matter who becomes president January 2021, no matter if that economy decides to tank again, no matter what injustices we face, it's that there is no one and there is no thing that can ever separate us from the love of God. The creator of the universe, the all-powerful God, loves you and loves me. Some of the greatest Christian movements grew out of the midst of famines and wars and plagues. Just think back in the Old Testament. And the promises of God, they're just as valid now in our times of pandemic and economic decline and depression and wars. They're just the same as today as they were before. In times like these, Jesus offers the security for our hearts, and we can find comfort and joy in Christ if we can just, maybe for a while, try to block out some of those things that take us down, the news, the TV. Now, that's kind of a catch-22 because, you know, like for myself especially, I'll turn on the news. I want to stay informed. I want to stay knowledgeable. I want to know what's going on. But to some degree, how much do you watch it and allow that news just to pour down upon you and send you, you know, to the bottom, feeling depressed all the time? What we really need to do is just maybe take and just turn off that TV and refocus and spend some time in prayer, spend some time maybe listening, turning on the radio to some Christian music, and spend time in God's Word. And that brings me to my next point, number 3. In times like this, we need Scripture. First of all, we need the Bible. We need the Scripture so that we can understand what's going on in our world and what we need to do about it. You look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. This is why we need the Scriptures, because all Scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. See, God uses that to prepare us. Prepare us for what? Well, as we mentioned earlier in 2 Timothy 3:1, in the last days there will be difficult times. He uses it to prepare us for those difficult times. And the next verse is right after our main verse, 2 Timothy 3:1, verses 2 through 5. Apostle Paul defines kind of what these difficulties may look like in more detail. He says in 2 Timothy 3:2 through 5, "For people will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They'll consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They'll slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and they'll hate what is good. They'll betray their friends. They'll be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They'll act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that." I think it was back in March, I preached a message on the whole armor of God. I don't know if some of you remember that. I never preached a message wearing all these kind of crazy stuff before. I mean, I had the breastplate, the boots on, the helmet. It was just kind of like praying like that. But that was from Ephesians chapter 6. And one of the things that I talked about during that is specifically in verse 17, where we talked about the sword of the Spirit, which, of course, the sword of the Spirit is God's Word. And the purpose of the sword, or the Bible, His Word, is to make us strong and to make us to be able to withstand the evil and the deception that Satan throws out at us. And the Holy Spirit uses the power of the Word to save us and to give us the spiritual strength and to make us mature soldiers for the Lord. The more we know His Word, the more we can understand the Word of God, and the more useful that we can be in doing God's will and standing against the enemy who's out there. To battle against those things and define the end times, Satan's coming at us with a lot of stuff. He's doing it. In the last 7-8 months, he's come at us with a lot of things. We need to know God's Word. strong so that we can fight back, so we can be not only defensive, but we can be offensive, and we'll talk about that. So we need Scripture, number one. But secondly, we need Scriptures to raise our children, because our children or our grandchildren, they are the future, right? And it seems like in almost every phase of life, whether it's the government, it's education, or it's the entertainment industry, they're conspiring to undermine our authority as parents and to secularize our children. And the problem is, when mom and dad are saying one thing and society is saying another thing, it's confusing for them. And sometimes it leads them down this road of destruction if they don't follow the path of Jesus. And Jesus, in John 10:10, is referring to Satan as the thief, says this: the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. See, Satan wants to get at the kids because he knows that they're next up. They're the ones who are going to make the choices and the decisions in the future. He wants to enslave the kids into sin and destructive habits. That's why it's so essential to teach our kids, our children, our grandkids, the Scriptures, so that they can find Jesus and they can know the Scriptures themselves. And most importantly, they can know the truth, and that they can then begin to discern the difference between things that are right and things that are wrong. So we need the Bible. Our children need the Bible. And thirdly, we need Scripture to reach our community. The Bible says in Romans 10:17-18, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. But I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard the message? Have the people of Wapaka heard the message? Many have, but there are many who haven't. They need to hear the message. Our community needs to hear the message. And that leads me to my final point of the day. In times like these, we need service. You know, when there's trouble and difficulty in our world, that is no better time than for us, God's people, to be out there doing everything that we possibly can to reach people for Christ, to maybe invite them to a service so that they can share in this experience. They can share in spiritual growth and fellowship and the community that we share here together with one another. John F. Woolvoord, who was a Christian theologian, he was a pastor, he was the former president of the Dallas Theological Seminary, he said this: now is the time for Christians to face the task of evangelism, prayer, devotion, and service. All of these are pressed upon us urgently by our present world situation. And I pray, you know, that God help us in these difficult times not to lose heart, not to be discouraged, not to be gloomy, not to be fearful, not to be idle, lazy, or to be apathetic in this time. You know, each passing day, at least right now, seems to bring more and more difficulty to our sin-sick world. However, there's a positive there, because with each passing day, it also provides us a greater opportunity for service, right? It brings us one day closer to Jesus coming back. You know, I want to share something that God had been impressing upon my heart for, I don't know, months. It seems like maybe since this COVID had started. But you think about the scope of what's happening in our world, you know, not just our country, but it is the world with COVID and what it has done and what it has created. And you think, how can I, just little nothing Tim Lenke, can do something in such a big world? And God's been just impressing upon my heart to say, what can I do? And maybe it's not in a big scale, but it's what can I do right here, right now, each day. You know, I just encourage you guys to pray that we're believers in Christ. And there is a message that needs to be heard out there. I mean, there are people struggling. And you think, well, I can't reach all these people. No, we can't individually. But we can reach one person at a time. And we can we can make a difference just a little bit at a time. So it's just, it's thinking, I pray to God almost every day. I just say, God, what can I do today? What can I do to make a difference in just a little way? Because when each one of us as Christians, we do a little bit, it adds up to a lot. And we need to make a difference in this world today because it's changing. It's changing rapidly. Maybe the end times are near. And what did God say? He said, go make disciples of all people, of all nations. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, everywhere, to the ends of the earth. This is our Jerusalem right here. It's Wapaka. We can start right here. So let's not be idle. Let's be about the Father's business. And let's get serious about serving God. I just want to use a couple of illustrations here. You know, we're in the deep into a presidential election, right? You got the Biden camp, you got the Trump camp, and you can bet that there's 4 weeks left that they are working tirelessly to let the American people know why we should vote for one or why we should vote for the other. They're creating TV ads, they're putting up billboards, banners, posters, everything. They're on doing interviews, radio shows. They're out there working hard so that we can understand what each of those candidates' policies are all about. They want us to choose this person or that person. On the same line of things, we've got doctors and scientists out there that are just working unceasingly to figure out a way, how can we cure this COVID pandemic? What can we do to stop people from dying? And then there's economic experts that are out there that are working hard behind the scenes to figure out what can we do so that this economy doesn't tank again and tons of more businesses go under. Or what can we do so that these millions of people who have lost their jobs can get their jobs back? They're working day in and day out to try to figure out a solution. The candidates, the doctors, the scientists, the economic experts, they're out there. They are giving their best for what are noble causes. Why? Because they believe in those causes. They believe that what they're doing is important. And that they believe that what they're doing is serious business and it must be done. Would you agree? But God, help us as believers in Christ to be just as diligent in serving God with that same passion. Why? Because we believe in our cause, right? We know what following Jesus brings. It brings eternity, brings eternal life and joy. We believe in that. We need to get just as serious about spreading God's kingdom as all the scientists and the governmental people are out there trying to show us how they can make a cure or why we should vote for someone. God's work is serious. It's noble. And it's worth our time. It's worth our effort. It's worth our commitment. And it's worth our sacrifice. No, like I said, God commanded us to go out and to be disciples, teach people, make them be disciples. So as we close today, let me remind you of this. In times like these, we need a Savior. Have you met the Savior yet? Because when you met him, there is hope. You have hope beyond what we're experiencing here. In times like these, we need security. And who is the one person that could be our security? It's Jesus Christ. He is our security. His love is never ceasing. And in times like these, we need the scriptures. We need to get into God's word, and we need to pray. We not only need to do that for our own sake, for our children's sake, and for the sake of our communities. And in times like these, we need service. The world needs our service. Our community needs our service. Our church needs our service. Most importantly, you need to serve in some way just to bring glory to God. So the pandemic has certainly led to just unprecedented isolation, loneliness, depression for people. Lots of suffering, but boy, what an opportunity this has been for us to be a blessing to those who need the hope of a Savior. Being a friend to those people who are lonely and depressed, encouraging the downhearted and pointing people toward Jesus and his word. Because we know that eternal life awaits for those who put their faith and trust in him. And all the sorrows, all the difficulties of this world will be gone. So God, help us to step up and to serve others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're going through some incredibly difficult times in this world. We know that. We've experienced it, some more so than others. But God, we know that as we sit here today, that you stand in control of all things. Father, that you are our Savior. God, that you sent your Son Jesus to this earth to live through some difficult times himself, all for us, all so that he can go to the cross and die, so that we can be forgiven, that we can come to know you. God, we thank you for that love, and that nothing can ever separate us from your love. And Father, for those here this morning who may not know you as their Savior, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit lead them to this prayer, simple prayer between them and you, Father, that say that I believe you, Jesus, that you came to this earth, that you died for my sins. I believe that, Father, I ask for forgiveness for my sin, Lord, and I want to live my life for you from this day forward and have that hope of eternal life. Father, we just pray for those, that they would say that prayer and come to know you as their Savior so they can have that hope. Father, we're thankful for your love, for your goodness, for your kindness, and always being there for us whenever we need you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.